Lord knows y'all know it. As I was, different times of the week, God moves upon my heart, and sometimes I'll be working, sometimes I'll be fiddling around, sometimes I'll be watching a football game. It's just, it does, when he speaks to me, he just does, and I just zoom everything out. And for years we've had proclamations and prophetic words of the ministry, and he's given me one this year, and it's to turn the hearts of the children back to the parents, or back to the fathers, or the founding fathers of our faith. And how many know that there's probably not but anyone in here that doesn't need a heart change? And I realize some of you are 99.99% pure. But the reality is that, you know, we he wants our whole heart to be on. Can I hear an amen? How many know that we're called to the ministry? Well, I got about a third of you. How many know it's our job that if we have received salvation, it is to share it with someone? You know, John chapter 7 and or 17 and 38, I believe it is, he said, out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. And so often we get that misinterpreted with just, you know, some things of God instead of all of God coming out of us. You know, we have a responsibility, because the Word of God tells us that we're not our own, that we're bought with a price. And what Jesus did at Calvary, that we are indebted to Him. And you know, what God wants to do this year is to expand the way that we've been giving to the community that we have around us. You know, I got to go to James for this for a second. But, you know, sometimes if somebody that doesn't have a whole lot comes in and sits down, you know, in some churches, and I'm sure this one's not exempt, that there's you know, well, why is he sitting on the front row? You know, why is this and that, and why aren't we opening our arms to him? And God spoke to me and said, you know, what would happen, and I'm just going to tell you what he said. What would happen if I raised up a prophet from the woods and brought him into this church in his rags? What would happen if I raised up a minister that was in the woods to come into this church? Well, there's some that say, praise God. And there are some which, you know, well, he doesn't have proper learning just like they did with Jesus. You know, who is this guy? You know, what school did he go to? You know, well, amen. And I share with you, I went to no school. You know, I went through the same thing that Moses and Paul went through, and I'm not boasting on that, but I want to look a little bit, if we can, to look at
that. Is that okay? Because, you know, for us to be right with God is going to be hard in every area. You know, in our ministry and in our love. And turn around and look at someone and say, I know you've got a little kingdom that you're trying to build up, but God's got a bigger kingdom. And if you want your little kingdom to grow, his big kingdom's got to grow. Can I hear an amen? And so often in life we get that backwards, but, you know, in this church, we have fed the needy for years. And 4 or 5 years ago, I can't remember. Well, I'm just going to go here. I think Lucy's gone. Good. Because, you know, somebody will say that, you know, you're picking her up. And if anybody knows me, it's not about me or anybody in this ministry. It's about God's work. You know, my heart's desire is to see this ministry open 24/7 doing the work of God, reaching out to every need that can be met. Can I hear an amen? That's all it's about. You know, we have times when this sanctuary is not in use, and it would be my pleasure to have for it be used 24/7. This is not my building. It's building. It's God's building. You know, and it's a 501c, and I'm just going to be real frank here. If anything was to ever happen, all the profits would be sold, none given to me, and given to other charitable organizations. So that's what this is about, and always we will be about that. It's not about me pocketing anything or anybody else pocketing anything. It's about, you know, the work of God continuing. And I don't say that because anything's going to happen, because I'm not prophesying. I'm just saying that's the right way to do it. Can I hear an amen? That God's ministry, no matter where it's at, keeps on going. But I'm going to say this, that, you know, we've been in the ministry 20-something years. And when God gave me the vision for the ministry, he showed me a school and college things and outreach ministries and things like that. And we had an outreach ministry I don't know, Pastor Ben was here, and we had it for 4 or 5 years, and we'd feed 300 or 400 people a week and things like that there. But there was something missing. And I just couldn't put my finger on it. You know, there's something that was just out of order. So I stopped it for a year. Then I, you know, the Lord said, start it back up again. So I got the people of the church together, and you know, their hearts were, let me say this, their hearts were there to do that ministry that day. So much like each of us, we have a ministry that we can do at a specific time. But, you know, something was wrong, and I just couldn't put my finger on it. And 10 or 12 years ago, Lucy came. And she was she had lost her house. She had lost all her houses, her cars, and everything. And I was here on a Saturday, and she came up and said, Pastor, God's called me to minister. I said, great. I said, what you going to do? She said, I'm going to feed the needy. And so, you know, I was the only one here. And I said, what can I do to help? And she said, I need some food. So I loaded up her car as much as I could put in it, back seat, front seat, trunk, and everything else, and sent her away. Well, 5 years ago, when we was getting ready to crank it back up again, it was going to be, I think, the third week in March or something like that, our congregation got together, and I knew their heart was to do this, but there's a difference between doing a one-time thing and a heart for ministering to the needy. And in that, you know, my prayer has always been that no matter who God raises up for whatever part of the ministry that's underneath Living Word, that their heart will be in it. Because you can't buy that. You know, there's no amount of money that could pay her for what her heart is about. It's just not there. And I'm not saying this to build her up. I'm saying this because God answered my prayer. And 2 weeks before it was open, I'm pulling my hair out because it's something is not right. It's just not what God wants, you know, because I felt like that. Anyways, you know how I felt. And so she came back again after 5 years and said, I don't know why I'm here. God sent me here. I said, well, I know why you're here. So we talked again. And she was down on Pondella and feeding some people over there. We walked on the ground, and me and my wife got out of the car, went in God, so we talked a little bit. And she's coming down here. And since that time, I'm going to share this, and this does not go to you going to Lucy and, you know, feeling sorry for her. There's been times I've seen her not be able to make her car payment, her insurance payment, her house payment, her electric bill, and not just once, many times, because she's given her financial ability to the need. I've seen her power turned off for weeks. I've seen her insurance canceled. Don't nobody go to her,
because this is about somebody's heart's right with God. Over a hard line, considering what God wants to do this year. No matter what you're in ministry, you can't get it out of. Save you from you. God saved you to be a living. God filled you with the Holy Spirit in tongues. Not the prophet. God filled you with his witness of the God that lives in you just like in Jesus. Can't hear an amen. And getting back with this in the last 5 or 6 years that she's been here, you know, and so I said, told her to come down, and then I knew that God was going to fulfill my heart's cry of putting someone that had a heart for that in our ministry. And she's done it. She doesn't work. She's just 24/7. It's 3 o'clock and she's out helping somebody. Hospice for the first time in history, put a tent. So that meant woods. Sounds like that's what to do. And I say all this because, you know, our meat should be the needs. Prophesy over them. Pray healings over them. But our heart should be, you know, so often in ministry, we talk more than we listen. And those people that are in need, they need someone to talk to. If you don't talk to him and you just pray for him, you know what happens? You haven't earned a friend. You've just gave him a little bit of hope. But imagine if you was out in that situation. Wouldn't you like to have a friend? I know one thing, that if hell ever broke loose and I didn't have a place to stay, I know I'd build up enough points with them, they'd take me in. Well, amen. And that's not what it's about either. But the reality of it is I asked her to come in. And instead of us doing it, she took over. And I had no idea what God wanted to do. And I still don't. This thing is far from being over. But the reality of it, we as church bodies, there's been a Jericho wall placed between this building and that building. I'm going to say it again. Some of us can't get...
If some can't get under water, we can't get around it. It shouldn't be like that. Jesus' greatest command was to love. It wasn't to speak in tongues. It wasn't to prophesy. His greatest command was to show love. And he gave us the ability, not only spiritually, but he gave us the ability to do it naturally. And this year could be, because God's anointing is on this direction, could be the greatest year for more souls, more deliverances. You know, at Christmas, I don't know how many people I prayed for that got delivered and saved in that little 3 or 4 hours of there. It was unbelievable. People bawling like a baby, you know, and you just don't know what it's like when you go out on Tuesday night out back. And that's going to be changed. We're going to incorporate, starting this Wednesday night, the outreach with Wednesday night service. God's laid it upon my heart, and we're going to have, they're going to feed them at 6 o'clock, and at 7 o'clock we're going to have praise and worship just like we always do. Have a small ministry of the Word, and then we're going to have prayer for the sick and deliverance. That wall to come down.
We want it to come down because God is on his chest.
There should be no separation. When I hear it, amen. I'm going to say this, and please, you've been a part of building this church.
But God's been a much greater part. See, our finances cannot do. No, you're not hearing me. There's no way the amount of finances coming in this church does what this church does. Lucy continued on feeding, and I love these people over here. They bless my heart every time I come in here. Stand up, please. I know you don't want to up anyways. Every time the doors are open back there, they cut hair. And you guys, you don't know how much you bless my heart. And I'll stay right up here. Let me just speak a blessing over you. Because you have blessed the heart of God. May the heart of God bless you in every life. Financially, in your health, in everything. In Jesus' name. Now you're going to tell me about that before long. Can I hear an amen? But getting back to it and just shedding a little bit of this so we can go forward with this. You know, we started out with that, you know, feeding 300 or 400 people and handing out bags and stuff like that to go around. And while we did that, we ministered. And ministered a lot. Not as much as I wanted to minister. Because it was my hope that everyone that came in there would be mentored. And what this Wednesday night thing is going to do is give us a chance. The sheep in here that are not active in ministering, it's going to give us a chance to pray for the needy. Somebody say amen. To get down, let me share something with you. To get down on their level, to have the compassion to see where they're at, to say, you know, I want to help you in any way that I can, whatever it is. But the most important way, I want to, this God that God's given me, this river that's out of me, this out of my belly, this river is a living water. How many understand that's real? There is salvation that flows out of that. There's, you know, when a river flows into a desert where there's nothing there, just sand and old sticks. Joel that talked about it, Sean? Joel 4:70, is that it? That's all right. Anyways, he says, where there's no hope of life. And he said, but when a scent of water comes, read it.
Think about this. When Jesus said there's rivers of living water flowing out of us, it was going somewhere. Can I hear an amen? It was going to serve a purpose. It was going to bring life where there was no life. It was going to bring hope where there was no hope. It was going to bring restoration where there's no restoration point. You got it, Sean? Listen to that now. So out in a situation like this with the world around us where there's people that are dried up with no hope or anything else, this anointing that God's placed on our life can touch their life, not only carnally but spiritually. It's vital that the church meets the carnal needs of those that are in need. Jesus proved it in his ministry when he fed the 5,000, 3,000, 7,000, all that. Can I hear an amen? It is vital that we show a compassion. It is vital that, you know, we love our brother. You know, how can we sit in church, and some of you are not going to like this, but how can we sit in church and say we love God and there's people with needs? He said, if you love me, you'll love them. And he said, if you don't love them, you don't love me. And the reality is we're one body. And what part of my body does not take care of something when something's wrong in it? And what part of the body of Christ doesn't take care of when there's parts there? There's parts of the body of Christ that are weak. Parts of the body of Christ that are in the woods. There's parts of the body of Christ that, you know, without us, how are they going to make it? Well, I need some more amens than that. Our love should be flowing like a river. Let me share this with you, because what happens here is what Paul says, that above all, I pray that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And the reality is, we can get so busy building our own kingdom that God's favor is shut off. Well, I'm going to go here. You can't outgive God. And there's no possible way you can outgive God. 20 years and I still can't do it. Every time I try to outgive him, he blesses my socks off over and over again. To be a part of this ministry. If I was just an associate pastor, I'd be blessed. I never foreseen none of this coming, and don't know where it's going to go, but I do know that God wants to do and reach souls. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He did. How many know that pastors don't make sheep? Say this after me. Sheep make sheep. Never mind. Stay right there. But the reality of it is are we blocking blessings by not letting God or not yielding to the God in us to help brothers and sisters? Isn't that the heart of God? Doesn't God's favor look down upon that and bless that? Can I hear an amen? Getting back to this just for a second. You know, last year, if numbers serve us right, we were only feeding so many people. And is it food share? Farm share. Lucy said at this meeting, and all these people from Florida wanted to be the second part of farm share. And here again, you're thinking I'm talking building up Lucy, and you're wrong. I'm building up how God works. He can work in any of us if we let him. And all these people came up pulling at this man that they wanted this second place in Florida to give this food out. Lucy didn't say nothing. She just sat there. And when it was all over, he came back to her and said, well, what do you think? She said, I've been waiting to see what God's going to do. And she got it. There's only two places in Florida they deliver. And since then, we don't tally up who we serve. We have between 75 and 150 different people in four or five different counties around us. And they come and get food. Are you with me on this? And they've got to get signatures of everybody that takes food. Are you with me now? Now this is what blesses my heart. For me to even be a part of this, is in 6 months, over 500,000 families were fed. I only got... And I don't say that because I want to... Because it's not about this ministry. If you've ever been here, understand it. It's not about Living Word Ministries. It's about the kingdom of God. There's no walls around this ministry. This ministry has always been, what do they call it? Outgoing? Lord have mercy. We had teachers in here when our school started. We couldn't even pay them. We had chicken. We had chicken fries every 2 weeks. And the teachers get paid, you know, depending on how much chicken we sold and how much chicken we could. We'd take a Friday every 2 weeks and cook up 300 or 400 or 500 chickens. Make payroll. And they were happy with it. I smell like a chicken after Friday. Amen. And I'm not saying that, again, I'm going to reiterate this over and over. I'm not saying that because of me. I'm saying it because God has a bigger plan than all of us. And to be a part of God's big plan, can I hear it, amen? To let this God that's in us flow out of us. I know we've all got problems. We all got situations. But listen to me. You want to learn something? Sometimes in ministry, God meets our own need. God is not just a single functioning God. You know, God is a God that multifacets. Can I hear an amen? And Jesus said one time, he said, it's much needs that I go by Samaria. And I love this story. The disciples were very hungry, and so was he. They went to McDonald's. He went to a well. He was just as hungry as they were. They went and fed their flesh. He went and fed his spirit. And there was this little old woman there, just paraphrasing it. And he read her mail. In that 15 minutes, she went to college. She became a living evangelist in 15 minutes. She didn't just start to go 4 or 5 years in college. You remember the story? That because of how God touched her life, she went down to the island and thousands were saved. Never mind. Thousands of lives were changed. And the reality of it is if we come into the presence of God any time, it's going to change our life. And she took that little bit that God did for her, and thousands were saved down there. Can I hear an amen? And the reality of, we don't have no idea of how much God can bless those that are in need here. I'm serious. Not only, I think what I want to go here is I think that it's awesome that God has fed that many families. But what's more awesome about it is people coming up and they say, you never know how much God touched my life and what you did in giving. And it pulls them to God. Can I hear an amen? It makes them see the love of God. It makes them recognize it, and it changes their relationship with God. Because so often when you're beat down like that and you're being smothered, because most people when you're down will kick you. Most people will not help you up. Well, somebody say that's right. But when they see a helping hand, it gives them a hope. It changes it. It changes the future. It's a reality that my people perish for lack of a vision. It gives them a vision that my life can change. We've seen people back there that have been in the woods for 4 or 5 years that now own homes. Own cars. Where most of the time, you know, when God gave me this vision like 12 or 14 years ago, I seen a drunk on the side of the road. And somebody was with me, said, look at that drunk. And he tipped his bottle up like that there. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, he's trying to find Jesus' bottle. And he said, when he tipped the bottle up, the Lord spoke to me. He said, can anybody, the man was thinking, the Lord told me his thoughts. He said, can anybody show me a God that can help me? Because I can't deal with this. Can anybody show me the power of God? Can anybody show me the love of God? Can anybody show me the delivering power or the salvation of God? And instead of just a drunk being there, you know, and we just thinking, he's never going to change. God has changed thousands of life. And that's what the ministry is all about. That's the heartthrob of God. That's the main vein of God, is that souls are saved, set free, and delivered by the power of God. And the different branches we have to do it by are just unlimited. Somebody say amen. We have the ability to branch, to pull together and see more lives saved for the kingdom of God, more lives delivered for the kingdom of God, more lives healed for the kingdom of God than any church in Fort Myers. It's a reality. What a harvest field we got. I feel like Jesus, when he pulled his 12 disciples together and said, I can only do so much. I need 12 more Jesuses running around to help me out. Well, that was the purpose of it. He said, look at the harvest. For the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And then he called them together and said, I'm going to give you power to lead people to Christ. I'm going to give you power to do miracles. I'm going to give you power to do healing. So that they might believe that I'm really real. Because I think you're going to be here at a certain time. But if I got 12, they can be at 12 different places. Now, if you understand that mathematical, the status of that, how much greater do we have that here than we did, than he did then? Well, think about it. No matter who you are in this church, you've got enough God in you, you've got enough knowledge in you to know just from what God's done in your life, that if he did it in your life, he can do it in somebody else's life.
Amen.
Well, somebody say amen. I mean, one of the biggest powers of a Christian's life, one of the biggest things about it is his testimony. Where God brought you from. What God delivered you from. What God's done in your life. Where God's bringing you. And where God's going to bring you, can I hear an amen? And that power, that vision and that hope that God's did in our life shouldn't be sealed up. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes we have problems on this road that we live in. But the reality of it is we're not on it alone. No matter what your situation is, there's somebody in a worse situation than you are. We're blessed to be where we're at with God. Can I hear an amen? We're blessed to be a part of a body that wants to reach out. We're blessed to know that we have a God that gives us the anointing to break the yoke, to change lives. Can I hear an amen? We have a God that can look past the faults of someone. That gives us the power to look past the faults of someone and to see the needs of someone. Can I hear an amen? We have the opportunity this year that our hearts, if we will let our hearts be molded by God, that there's no limit to what God can do. Not for this church. It's never been about this church. Please hear me. I'm not about big churches. I'm about the kingdom of God. I've had pastors come to me and say, you know, I want to steal from your church. I said, brother, you can't steal from my church. First off, it's not mine, and it's not about a church. It's about a kingdom thing. My ex-pastor said, you know, do you mind if I start a study down here? And because when I was his associate pastor, he said I couldn't start a ministry within 250 miles of where I was at. And he came back and said, do you mind if I start a ministry down in the trailer park? So I said, you go right ahead. He said, well, you know, I don't want to pull. I said, you're not going to pull any people from my church. I said, God's going to have there who he wants there. I said, this is not about Living Word Ministries or Faith Chapel or Benny Henry. It's about the kingdom of God. God's appointed us a kingdom. I said, God has appointed us a kingdom, just like he appointed Jesus a kingdom. Can I hear an amen? And he gave us the power of that. Can I hear an amen? Jesus said, the same way my Father has sent me, so send I you. The ability of the Spirit of God that resides in us to meet not only spiritual needs, but to meet carnal needs. To feed the widows. Hello? To feed the harmless. You say, well, some of them fought to get there. Some of them don't want help. Let me share something with you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if we can get them to believe, they can be changed. He paid the price to save the world, to redeem the world, to restore the world back unto him, to reconcile the world back unto him. Can I hear an amen? The price has already been paid. Getting them to believe is our job. Getting them to believe is our job. And if your testimony can't change somebody's life, there's something wrong. I'm being real here. Because how God changed you, somebody needs to hear it. How God delivered you. We say, well, I wasn't that bad. Well, that doesn't make no difference. There's a lot of people out there who don't think they're that bad. I had to go there. Can I hear an amen? But the reality of it is, are we exhausting our energy? Or can we exhaust more energy on the kingdom of God? Everyone say after this, say this after me. It's about God's kingdom. It's about God's glory. It's about victory for the world. It's about defeating the enemy. Well, somebody shout amen. Can our imagination, now watch now, where some of our imaginations haven't gone with this, but maybe went the other way, can we reverse our imagination and imagine all the things that God can do if this wall's tore down? As big as this church is, you know, this church is only half full today, but there's more than that, no more people than that in this church. Well, I'm being real here. How much can this bless? How much can bring the favor of God back to your life? And it's not about that. That's just one of the benefits. You can't outgive God. Some of you think that's just monetarily with your funds, but you're missing it. Everything you do with the love of God in your life to reach out to someone that's lost in any way, God honors that. Because it's really God's love flowing to you. You know, it's our job, and I'm going to say it again, it's our job not to fill a pew. It's our job to minister. And some of us, we got into this thing where we minister at work and that's good enough. Let me share something with you. There's not a better opportunity than this. Last Saturday they had a gathering, and Ruth, you guys got together, didn't you? And that Lucy fed, and you invited to come back and forth, right? I think that's a great idea. As far as I'm concerned, I hope it happens every Saturday night. Because before that ever happened, last week I spoke to my wife. You can ask her. I said, I want to see the walls come down, and I want to see that brought into part of this to give God glory. She has Celebrate Recovery. It's to help people that are on wine or whatever drugs to get delivered. And I'm going to say one thing about that. I'm old school. Ruth, this is not personal. But it's a sad day when the church is not in a place where they can't lay hands on somebody that needs delivered and get them delivered. But I will take all the help we can get for God's glory. If God can get them into a place through this recovery system that they can grab a hold of the things of God, it'll bless my heart. How many understand that? Sometimes people are so far away that they need to be brought to a certain place to where God can get a hold of them. Sometimes there's so much torment that anyways, you guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? And how can we be a blessing to our God? What do you think the number one blessing you could do for God is? I don't usually do this. Everybody be quiet. I don't usually do this. But I'm for 4 or 5 minutes here before we close. I'm going to say, I want to know what you think God's number one priority is. One at a time, I'm going to open it up for a forum. What'd you say? That's a very good one, because without obedience, none of this can happen. Well, that's part of it, but that's good. I'm sorry? That's powerful. All those are vital. I'm sorry? That's exactly right. Without all these, the world can't be saved. The world can't be fed. The world can't be ministered to. Can I hear an amen? For his heart's desire was for God to love the world, that he gave his only, his precious, his only son. Priceless. And Jesus so loved his daddy that he said, I'll do it. No strings attached. Jesus said, if you really want to know, it'll be my joy to do it. I don't know if you grab that, but I want that heart that Jesus had. It'll be my joy to serve. It'd be my joy to serve the homeless. It'd be my joy to serve anybody that God brings in the ministry. It would bless my heart. How many understand what I'm saying? The opportunity that I've seen this week, it kind of stunned me, because me and my wife for the last 3 or 4 weeks have been seeing what God has done in this ministry. Something that we knew that God was going to minister in, it because that's been our heart's desire, that people's lives are changed. But to be a part, just think about it. You know how much, let me just redo this here if I can. And I'm not degrading what I'm fixing to talk about. I thank God for this other company. Here's something with you. There's not another distributor, I'm not saying this about anything, but how great God is. There's not another distributor in 5 counties or Southwest Florida that has done more, no one, than this outreach ministry. Harry Chaffin has done it. And I say that not to be big shot. Please hear me. I'm very humble about this. It humbles me to be a part of that. Are you ready for this? We don't take up money for this. I've never taken up an offering for this. Never mind. But God. You understand? And I hope I'm not boring you with this, but it's a reality. We have a tremendous opportunity to make this year a year that my heart will be blessed, because all my heart wants to do is give glory to God. All my heart wants to do is help vindicate the cross of Calvary. All my heart wants to do is see people delivered, be set free. All my heart wants to do is plant hope in people's hearts, plant a vision in it that God can change your life. Can I hear an amen? We all have, how many in here have the Holy Spirit? Well, raise up your hand. Some of you are lying. Are you going to come tonight? You that are lying, you're going to come tonight, I'm going to preach on lying. This has been an unusual service, but I'm going to project this year. I project that the angels in heaven will be dancing 24 hours around the clock.
Hallelujah.
For souls being saved.
Yeah.
I say that because I know there's nothing more that would please Him to see those that are bound to hell being saved eternally. And how that, oh Lord Jesus, help me here. How God's favor just flows out over those that are in that. Sometimes we come to church and we need. I'm going to finish that story. Jesus needed food, but He ministered to that woman. And His disciples came back and said, "Oh, that Big Mac sure was good." Ah. And Jesus said to them, He said, "I have meat that ye know not of. While you was feeding the flesh, I was feeding the spirit. I got strengthened. I got filled." It's in there. It's right there. Read the Bible. And the reality of it is sometimes we need to minister. Instead of coming to God, we have this need. Turn around and look at someone and say, "I hate to disappoint you, but it's not about you." Say, "I love you, but it's about Jesus. And it's about the people," come on, "that used to be where I was. But somebody came along and gave me some words that brought me to Jesus. And my whole life has changed. Where there was no hope. When I was in prison. Good God, we might have church yet. When I was bound up. Couldn't break free. When I couldn't see the goodness of God. When I was all messed up. Like filthy rags. Even worse than that. God. Oh my God. Sent someone in flesh and blood that gave me part of God that changed my life, that broke the chains, set me free, gave me a vision, took me out of darkness, brought me into light. Oh, God, thank you for that person that came to me. You know what I like? What else I like? How many of Billy Graham was a great man of God? I'd have been blessed if I could have led him to the Lord. Nobody knew the souls that he would touch. There might be a Billy Graham out back. There might be an A.A. Allen. There might be a Jack Cole. There might be a Benny Hinn. There might be a man of God back there that just somebody needs to talk to light that fire, to bring him out of all that trash into where God's called him. Somebody shout amen. There might be another Paul out there. There might be another Peter out there. God, I'm going to have church yet. There might be an Abraham out there. Somebody say amen. There might be a Ruth out there. Somebody say amen. Oh, for such a time as this, can I hear an amen? Lord have mercy, there's a field that God says, I've given you the anointing to go change the world. It's not like he's saying, I want you to get up and go out on your own and go to the woods. He said, all you got to do is go to the back building. Or all you got to do is come in here. Can I hear an amen? God desires to plant a vision in our heart. That, oh man, how bound up I was. How messed up I was. How perverted I was. How ungodly I was. How unholy I was. How unrighteous I was. How sick I was. How tormented I was. A filthy, low-life, carpet-begging, egg-sucking dog. You got to be from the South to understand that. Or a Ridge Runner. And God... And God changed my life. And how where we all were. And how God changed us. There's not a greater testimony than that. I mean, he might not have knocked you off your high horse, but he knocked you off your horse. Every one of us has got Apostle Paul experience. The only trouble is, Paul was riding on a Clydesdale. Well, amen. Man, what a joy. What an opportunity. You know, we all have got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I presume, 99% of us. But I don't know that we've learned to yield to it yet, because sometimes speaking to other people intimidates us. I'm being real here. You don't know what you're going to say or how you're going to approach it. That's because you're in the way. All you've got to do is have a desire to approach it. God will give you the words to say. How many times did I get up in this church on Sunday morning and say, well, he's changed it again. You know, when he first did that, I didn't like it. I said, that ain't right, God. I did. I had a message all prepared. It was probably the first Sunday. I had a message all prepared. He'd been giving me revelation all week long. I said, wow, this is going to be awesome. Got up in front of the church. He said, are you going to listen to me? I said, God, you said study to show yourself approved. I said, I've been studying all week. He said, well, that's not what it's all about. It's about being instant in season and out of season. I'm going, I don't know that I understand that. He said, you will. And a young girl stood up in the back, and God gave me a word for her. She, what was her name? Deanna. Her skin was yellow. Her white of her eyes was yellow. And I looked at her, and I said, the doctor told you to get your house in order. She didn't tell me that you got 3 months to live. And she said, that's exactly right. I said, well, God told me to tell you, you're not going to die. But you're going to live and declare the works of the Lord. But before I say, are you ready? I'm going, when God gave me the word, I'm going, and God said, and the devil's going, yeah, if you say it and nothing happens, guess what? There goes your ministry. And God said, whose ministry is it? And I said, it's yours. He said, let me worry about it then. Well, I fumbled and trembled and stuff over my tongue and everything else, and I told Deanna to stand up. She stood up, and in the 3 months that she was supposed to die, she's still living. That's been over 20 years ago. She was totally healed, totally delivered. And I didn't want to, when I was out there, you know what I felt like, don't you? I felt like the roadrunner with a saw on the limb. The limb didn't fall, the whole tree did. That's what I felt like. I said, man, what am I doing out here? But have no fear about it. Just be willing to say, God, I'm going. And be quiet before the Lord. Listen to the person. Let me share something with you. Don't go out there like a vengeance, blow in, blow up, and blow out. Go out there with a loving heart and listen to him. And I promise you this one thing, that if you listen, God will open up a communication. God will let you see something in that spirit that they need. God will let that Holy Ghost in you work and perceive their thoughts and their needs. And God will give you the words to say to be a blessing to them to that day. It's never failed me. It should never fail you, can I hear an amen? So don't overcome it by faith. No matter how intimidating it is, overcome it. Reach out with love and watch God fill your mouth. Reach out with love and watch God change the situation. Reach out with love and watch God change the world. Somebody shout amen. Yeah. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We are more than conquerors. No matter what situation they're in, we should understand that we can conquer that situation by the grace of God. He didn't send us to just give them a word of hope. He sent us to bring them out. He sent us to deliver. Can I hear an amen? He sent us to bring hope. That their life, that the words of God, that the gospel of God would paint a picture that their life can change. That they don't have to be stuck in this. Can I hear an amen? Just like he did with us. Somebody shout glory to God. I'm going to have church yet. Maybe. Lord have mercy. It's chicken time. Blue light down at Walmart. How many's been down there? Blue light flashing. Nobody's there today. Man, this is a good message. Nobody's at Kentucky Fried Chicken. This has been a real good message. Can we let God, the anointing of God's Word, come upon us in such a way that it will direct our path into this mission field that we have in every area? Whether you come once, you know, there's enough people here. If you just came once on 1 month of Wednesday, and a lot of you come more than that, but during this outreach, there's plenty of people that it's going to be slow taking off, or to help in to celebrate recovery. That I want to march around this Jericho wall about six times. How many understand what I'm saying? There should be no difference between this love here and this love back here. Every time I've been back there, and there's things that I'm telling you, it's nasty, but it's never stopped. I hug their neck. It almost turns my belly sometimes. But you know something? After the second or third one that I hugged, it doesn't bother me anymore. My prayer is, God, that they can be taken care of. No human being should be in that situation. And I'm going to tell you one thing, church. Understand it and hear this. The government is not going to create a utopia. Only God can. Can I hear an amen? There's enough anointing in this house to see 2 million people saved in Lee County next year. To see prosperity hit. To see health, wealth prosper. Can I hear an amen? And that's what God's intent is. That the heart of God would flow through us. That the gift of God that He's given us would flow through us. That the love would flow through us. That the concern. That the ability that we can reach people that we never thought we was able to. That God's kingdom will be glorified. We're living in a time where God's kingdom is shrinking. I'm going to say it again. We're living in a time where God's kingdom is shrinking. But it's our job to expand it. No matter where the world's going, and I'm going to say this, no, say I'm cussing the church. If the world's going to hell in a handbag, we still got an opportunity. There's still lost people out there. I guarantee you one thing, the end's not going to come until that last person that have been predestinated to get saved is saved. And when that soul's called up, it's done. And you might be that one that leads them to the Lord. And if I find out you are, I'm going to hug your neck. I'm going to say, beam me up, Jesus. I'm ready. Get out of here. Can I hear an amen? Let's all stand. How many know that God's anointing is on His Word? How many know if you receive God's Word, you receive His anointing? How many know that God's Word has healing on it? Somebody say amen. And deliverance. Can I hear an amen? That God's Word is full of Jesus and all His attributes. So if you're here this morning and you receive God's Word, then you have a right to say, I receive the healing that's on that Word. I receive the peace that's on that Word. I receive the deliverance that's on that Word. Because it is my desire to follow you. 3 people. Well, that's even going to be a greater miracle. That 3 people are going to see 2 million people saved. Amen. And the reality of it is this has always been God's vision. It's always been His desire. But He's bringing His Word again. Can we grab a hold of it? Can we see the one that died for us? Can we see Him being glorified this year? I guarantee you one thing. If we move in God's direction, He's going to move in our direction. Can I hear an amen? Raise up your hands and let's say a prayer. Father, I ask that your word that has been sent would bring a hope and bring a vision. That would bring people out of their situations of maybe it's financial, maybe it's health, maybe it's something else. But as they move closer to you, Father, they move farther away from the problems that the devil has put upon their life. Bless them. Let your word come to fruition. Let joy and peace and righteousness fill their hearts. And Father, let us have a vision that the kingdom of God is not decreasing, but expanding. That people are not losing, but they're winning. That souls are being saved, being healed, and being delivered. And God, put a desire in our heart that we're not satisfied with 1 a week or 1 a day. But God, we want to see so many souls saved in one. God, now I ask that as this has been a word that you have placed in my heart, I ask that you bless it and show vindication of it. Because everywhere Jesus went, His word was vindicated by signs and wonders. Now vindicate this word. In Jesus' name I ask. And everyone said,